Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. No, that's L-I-G-H-T, light. Light of the world, there is hope in these dark times. Know that the light of the Lord is shining in the midst of the darkness. It's for us to comprehend His presence, His goodness, His power, His glory, forever and ever and ever. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to VFN Radio. And we're so pumped to be here to encourage you in obedience to the voice and the leading of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we're reaching around the world, we give a shout out to Indonesia. Hello, Indonesia. We're so glad to have you on as our listening audience. And so many more. Joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to be talking about getting desperate for the glory of God. You know, God, this is the thing that moves God. Hunger. Hunger moves God. Hunger and thirst for a God that you have faith in, that will respond to you. This rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Desperate. Holy dissatisfaction for where you are if you don't have enough of God. And you can look around. We need more, Lord. More of your presence. More of your anointing, God. More glory. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be talking about also the Benghazi dam has broken and truth is pouring out. In addition to the prayers that have gone up about ending abortion, sending revival, things are beginning to break loose. Even in the sex trafficking is being exposed. And God is responding and answering our prayers. Understand, right before the brightest light comes the darkest moments, when your greatest temptation is to give in. Don't give in. Raise up your hands to God and realize your redemption draws near. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, being a light in the world for Him. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Oh, my God. I just feel this morning I was spending time with the Lord about, you know, getting desperate for God. Then I went to VFN TV, and I was going to go, man, I want to just soak in, you know, desperate for the glory of God. And then I realized that it's not even in VFN TV. Oh, my goodness. So if you could, Pat, speak to the producer of VFN TV.
It's on the website.
It's
we'll have to fix the app.
That means he's gonna get on that, doesn't it? I was wrong. No wonder, man. I was like, oh my goodness. You gotta have this. This will be on there today, right?
Yes, it will.
Awesome. Isn't that beautiful? Just such humility and all that. Just awesome. Just awesome, man. Man, I want to apologize. I thought Desperate for God's Glory was out there for you guys on the app. I'm telling you, you got to get to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and listen to it on VFN TV, not on VFN Radio, but you go to VFNTV.com and you can listen to it. But you got to get it in your heart. We're going to be talking about that, you know, David, King David got desperate. And a lot of times we get desperate and we just start doing anything. And we're going to find out you can't just do anything because it can be very costly. But if we do what David did, if we do what so many before us, if we do what Charles Seymour did, if we do what those that have gone before us have done, we will see how God responded, will respond to us as well. Also, we'll hopefully get a chance to, I know we talked about it yesterday or this week about, you know, created for a purpose. Hopefully we'll get to that. It'll probably be in the extra hour today. Join us. You know, we are with you for the first hour and the extra hour and the third hour is the Great Awakening coming out of South Africa, which is very prophetic. Understand this, that of all the people and the nations that reach the world, especially America, coming from Africa, that's beautiful that God would use the African people. And, of course, it's all nationalities that are there in the Great Awakening or the outpouring healing revival that's taking place there. But just the coming out of the heart of Africa. And just America, humble yourself and receive from the hand of the Lord what he's given us. And it's a great awakening. I truly believe that God, if you think about it, you know, we it's easy to fall to the negative and say, you know, yes, a nation can fall in a day. because he talks about it. A nation that's going to fall in a day, and nations have fallen in a day in the past. But you know what? A nation can be saved in a day. A family can be saved in a day. You can be saved in a day. Your life can be transformed in a day. You were saved for a purpose. God is ready to save you for a purpose and a destiny and a hope. Your city can be saved in a day. So just like the negative, you can be, you know what? My God is more powerful. That despite all the things, and it's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Anytime darkness gets an opportunity to advance its propaganda and all the things that it does, you know, it just runs for it. It's like water to a low spot. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That when the enemy comes in like a flood, that our God raises a standard. And in the midst of that, that's what makes him so look so awesome, and he is awesome, but in the contrast of so much darkness, he raises up a standard and he begins to move in the power and the light and in his glory and his magnificence is shown so powerfully, and his brightness is shown so powerfully against a dark black canvas. You know, some work is best seen, you know, with a certain background, you know, some sort of matting behind the picture or some sort of, I was just watching DW television out of Germany, and they were talking about, they redid an entire museum. They didn't change any of the artwork. They just changed the backdrop, and it brought out the artwork. Some good artwork, some what are you thinking type artwork, and some demonic work. But understand this, that God never changes. But when you put a certain backdrop behind him, and especially darkness behind him, he stands out as a bright light that he is. And it's exciting. I want to encourage you, run to the light. Be desperate for the light. And understand you were saved for a purpose. So hopefully get a chance in the next hour to talk about, you know, created for a purpose. We're also going to have a moment as we're talking about being desperate for God's glory and his presence and more of him, hungry. You can take the word desperate, put the word hunger there. And that's where God moves. I mean, why would you want to show up? I mean, even a businessman or woman knows, you know, say they're running a company and they have agents all over your nation, all over America, in every state. And everybody wants the owner to show up. Oh, will you show up over here? You know, we need some motivation. Can you encourage us? Can you do some, you know, what you do? And then the manager or the owner of the store or the business goes, well, I can't, you know, are you selling anything? Are you doing anything? Are you telling anybody about the company? Is there a reason for me to show up? I'm in the business, not for us just to, you know, hang out all the time. And if you're advancing this business, if you're selling the products and you're doing these different things that we're supposed to do to maintain the livelihood of this company, then that's where your business owner is going to go. Well, that's just business. That's just plain old economics. Mm. Now we're talking about the economy of God. You know, so many people just say, "Hey, you know, God, show up and heal me." And he's like, "Again? For what? You know, I healed you 10 years ago." I held you 10 years ago, and you're still sitting on the same pew. I mean, you've upped your game a little bit. Now you're sitting on a chair instead of a pew. You're not wearing a tie anymore. I mean, come on. It's bigger and deeper than that.
Right.
And, we're healed and saved for a purpose. And I just want to encourage you to begin to just open your heart today. Say, you know, God, speak to me about my purpose and my destiny. And it's only then when you know your destiny and your purpose, are you willing to do whatever it takes to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. There's just no motivation. There's no inspiration if you don't even know why you're doing what you're doing. And if so many people are not hearing about their destiny and that God has called you and that the same Jesus that's in that one is in you and the same Spirit of God that's with and in that one is in you. And that means Christ in you is the hope of glory in your life and for those around you. And it's time for you to stand up as an individual connected to the body of Christ, understanding you're going to stand alone before the throne of God. So you might as well get busy doing what God's called you to do so you can experience the things of God. And we're going to be talking about Charles Seymour and how he was willing to do that, one of God's generals at Azusa Street, who reportedly had sent out the most missionaries around the world from one man's holy desperation for God. And so I'm just pumped about that. So remember, if a nation can fall in a day, then a nation can be one in a day. Mm-hmm. A family can be one in a day. that a city can be won in a day. Who's going to hinder that? The religious folks, the ones who are wanting recognition, the ones who are wanting their name on it. You know, it's the name of Jesus. Get your name off that thing. You know, it's about God. It's about him and him receiving the glory. And what's about to happen on the face of the earth, and I believe it's going to happen in America with a third great awakening, is going to be a where everybody that calls on the name of the Lord and gives their heart wholly over him, over to him, and says, you know, I am leaving like Lot left Sodom. I'm going to leave the world, and I'm going after God. And they're not going to have taste of salt on their lips. They're going to be taste of desperation and hunger for more of God. That they're going to be moving in the fullness of the gospel, just the healthy body of Christ, which means signs, wonders, miracles, healings, prophecies, dreams, you know, the whole aspect of it. And I'm telling you right now that we're seeing it happen. What I'm telling you, we're seeing it happen from every age group and gender. You don't need a title to hear from God. As a matter of fact, quite often, titles are two things like earplugs that plug people's ears. They can't hear from God no more. Are you really doing this for a title? You know, it's like, oh, you don't want the responsibility, you just want the title.
And right, so, you want your name on the list. Right?
It's like, really, do you really want this cup? Do you want to drink the cup? You know, hey, drink up, drink up. Also, we'll be talking about how what's taking place in the world. Understand that when God begins to move and he begins to manifest and respond to the hunger of his people. Remember when Israel cried out in slavery and he heard the cries of his people and he responded to that cry. Well, he's not going to respond to like, hey, I got a minute. Could you swing down here and give me a miracle? You know, hey, can you swing down here and give me another wing on my building? Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's like, first of all, you don't say hey to God like that. Right. You know, it's about a relationship. But he heard the cries of a people that was in bondage and slavery and all kinds of darkness. And you saw what they did in the wilderness with God, with manna on their lips, with bitter waters turned to sweeten, the power of God and the lightning and thunder of God on the mountain and all that, what they did. So you can imagine how they were in bondage in Egypt. I mean, they were into all that stuff. But yeah, even in the midst of all of our darkness and all of our bondage and all of our sin and all of our dirtiness, that when we begin to cry out to God, it moves the heart of God, and God responds and begins to send us a deliverer, somebody that will begin to teach us the ways of God and give us the opportunity to respond to God and may even heal us and deliver us from captivity. But yet we still have to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of our life. And in that, we found out that, you know, the first crew that came out that God delivered, that God responded to their cries, decided not to believe God and were disobedient to God and died in the wilderness. And it was the next generation. It was the Joshua generation and the Caleb generation that said, you know, we believe you. We're going to go in and take the land. Mm-hmm. And rest assured, with the amount of darkness that's in the world right now and the amount of, quote, maturity, unquote, that's taking place in the demonic realm, because it has to learn, it's not God, that that they are demonic strongholds that are going to have to come down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. But there's nothing more powerful than God and the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And but you can't be like the sons of Sceva and just start cranking something out, because you might be
beat up,
embarrassed, and et cetera. And so with the darkness, you're going to find that as soon as we talk about Peter and the power of God, you know, he went from somebody who was denying Jesus, who thought he lost his relationship with Jesus, and even Jesus didn't even call him a disciple anymore. He says, go get my disciples and Peter. Mm. But thank God he called your name, right?
Thank goodness.
And so he comes a running, and but when he waits for power, when he waits for, he obeys Jesus and waits for the Holy Spirit's power, dunamis power, then he comes out of that anointing and that baptism of power and begins to preach a message where over 3,000 people in Jerusalem, and, you know, we've been to, and mm-hmm. we're, you know, 3,000 people in America, you think, you know, America's huge.
Right.
Yeah, America's huge, but Jerusalem's not that huge. 3,000 people will rock all of Israel.
No doubt.
Definitely Jerusalem. You know it rocked the Pharisees, the Sadducees. What's going on? Oh, my goodness. And That was a powerful thing, you know, 3,000 people getting saved. But understand, with that comes persecution. Immediately, they're going to be locked up for doing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't be naive for what needs to happen in the earth today and what needs to happen in America today is to preach the gospel unashamedly, the cross of Christ, and preach against sin, but first repent of your sin. Get things right with God. If you haven't yet listened to the cross of Christ, you need to listen to that on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and listen to it, because you got to have a dependency, complete 100% dependency on the finished work of the cross of Christ, which releases the Holy Spirit in a way to empower you to do what you could never do before, which means walk rightly before the Lord and humbly, obviously not sin less, but a much less sin than it would have been if you tried to do it on your own. Because if you try to do it in your own self and your own works, according to Pat, it gets really bad, right?
Yes.
You want to expound on that?
No.
Okay, that's good. I mean, it really does. You just can't do it. And so understand that when God does something, he gives you something. He says, listen, you know, when anybody who gives up anything, and he lists the things that we give up, including family, finance, jobs, stuff and things, for the kingdom and for Jesus Christ, the advancement of Jesus Christ, that you get it back a hundredfold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come, but with it, persecution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you want to have the glory of God without the persecution, you're not going to, all you're going to have is captivity. You're not going to have that.
Right.
But if we, it's just like, you know, whatever, just want to be faithful in your generation, whatever you're called to do. Realize, if you've been living for this life, you know, you're panicking right now. If you're not panicking, then your head's buried in the sand of denial. But if you've been living not for this world, but living for Jesus Christ, then you're ready. I mean, you're ready. You're just looking for the sound. You were looking for the moment. You were looking for the call. You were looking for the place. You were looking for the faith. You were looking for the leadership. You were looking for somebody who recognized your destiny. And God's about to launch out in a powerful way, reaching to his people who are hungry for him, who believe him, who believes that he is the God of the Bible, and everything it says he is, and he'll do. It's for us to have faith and believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. The enemy's trying so hard to extinguish and annihilate and destroy the name of Jesus, the recognition of God, the Jews and the Christians on the earth. But I got news for you. That's an impossible thing to do. I mean, you may take me, you may take someone else out, but by the way, that's a promotion for us. We go instantly to be with the throne of God. What an awesome thing to be a martyr. Mm-hmm. I mean, of all the people that ever lived, when you read about heaven, it's the martyrs who are talked about,
right,
you know, the most. And it's just amazing thing. So just imagine what you're doing for that particular individual. But understand this, be willing to lose for God. Be willing to, you know, you're not willing to live for anything until you're ready to die for something. And there's so many people that are so cautious, they buy insurance that covers them between their house and the first red light on the way to work. I mean, everything, they're trying to be so cautious, and so they're insuring everything. And it's like, how do you insure being falsely accused and in prison for preaching the gospel? Is there a policy for that? You know, is there a policy for,
it's in heaven, that's,
you know, the Red Beret or the SEAL Team 6 to come rescue you? You could pay their salary or something. I got like a $20 million policy, so that if I get locked into jail and put into chains and accused of all the things that those and God's people have been accused of in the past, is there a policy for that? Yeah, it's called the blood of Jesus. It's already been paid already. Get over, you can either be popular on earth with people, or you can be popular in heaven with God. And there's a big difference. And by the way, if you just decide to go with God, there's so many people that are ready to go with God. They're just waiting for somebody to stand up and say, here I am, Lord, send me.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've been told at my workplace that I'm not allowed to have any religious conversation with any fellow coworker. Me and another coworker want to converse about this, and it does not interfere with the work environment. They're having someone else offended, and I told them we have the right to freedom of speech, but we don't have the right not to be offended. And I just want to hear your views on that there.
You're right. I mean, sometimes people have interpreted, and some courts have interpreted, the First Amendment as a basis upon which you have the right not to be offended. But when you're on your break time, when you're in the lunchroom during lunch, and you want to have discussions about your faith, about what the gospel means to you in your life, you're allowed to have those discussions. Let me get you in touch with some of our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help as well.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were, and you didn't fit, and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And he says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them. Yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you could have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately. In your email, iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. Obviously, it's just pretty much me right now. I think you said a little bit, right? You said a little bit this morning.
I've been busy.
These guys are working so hard, by the way, but it's so important as we're having this conversation. It's kind of like we're just sharing, you know, what God has done. And I want to speak about being desperate for the glory of God, as I've been talking about already. And, you know, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I mean, think about that. Jesus tells us right then, the very first thing that he's telling us on the Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of the church, he says, listen, hunger is what moves the Father to respond to you. You have to want me and want what I have to offer. You have to want to be with me. And truly, it's amazing to me how, you know, people like to come together and they don't even really want to be together. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have these things called family reunions that people go to that near one of them wants to be together, but something just kind of drives them together, and they act like they're doing each other a favor by showing up, as secretly they actually despise one another and they're judging one another. And it's like, that's something maybe you grew up with. It's called dysfunction, maybe, you know, and every family's not like that. But understand, the family of God's not like that. That you got to want to be there. You got to want to be there. And to be invited is an honor. And to show up without the salvation garments on, it's not going to be good. But they'll let you show up.
That's right.
And to show up at a family reunion with God is a good thing. You have to want, though. You have to want to show up. You're like, you're getting ready. You're excited. You're going to be abiding that morning, or you're going to be where you're gathering, or you're going to listen, or you know, you see things that you know that your loved one, Jesus, does not like, and you turn your head because you don't want to offend him. You choose things differently. You hang out differently with folks, and you don't tolerate conversations, and you change your media choices. Why? Because you want to be in relationship with him. You hunger and thirst for him. And he says, this is what he said. Of all the things that Jesus could say, he says, those who hunger and thirst. He didn't say, you know, women who hunger and thirst, men who hunger and thirst, children who hunger and thirst, religious people who hunger and thirst, Charles Seymour who hungers and thirst, just, you know, no, it's those. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you with those? I'm with those.
Yeah.
Are you with those? I'm with those. Are you with those? I'm with those. And by the way, you're of those, which means this applies to you too. If you hunger and thirst, it's sort of like this. Think about this. Have you ever eaten at a buffet? If you've been to America, you have eaten at a buffet.
Mm, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. We call them troughs. Yeah. Hey, if you own one out there, they're cool. You know, it's actually self-control.
That's right.
And a low price. If you don't eat like a cow, then you'll give us a lower price. Anyway, so you eat all this food, you know, all this lettuce. Right, they have lettuce on those things.
They have lettuce bars, yeah.
I used to remember years ago. So yeah, I'm on a diet. I eat a salad bar, and I finally went to a salad bar soup. I was like, my goodness, that has more food than the entire city that I come from. Anyway, but just imagine you eat until your heart's content and beyond your stomach's ability to hold that food. Just imagine that, and you're just so full, and then somebody comes up with your most favorite dessert. I mean, it's your favorite. I mean, it used to just, as a kid, you liked it maybe, whatever. I mean, taste buds change. Like, yours would have hot sauce on it if it was a dessert.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream and hot sauce. Butter pecan and hot sauce. But, you know, and it's something that just would always make you want to get it. But you're so full from the buffet, you're so full from eating all the other food that when this food that tops your food chart shows up, with all the things that gives you these great feelings or whatever, and you just joy brings back childhood, whatever. I don't know what your taste buds do for you. But anyway, that you're not hungry for it. It's not that particular food doesn't have the same quality it always has. It doesn't mean that if you weren't full, you wouldn't have that desire for it. It's just the fact you can't hold nothing else. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't have a drawing on you. It doesn't, you're not saying, I want some of that. And the church is so full of the buffet of the world, so much dark media and so many dark relationships and so much prognosticated dark-sided news with no light, that it's like, yeah, I know that sounds good. I remember once I've tasted of the Lord and he was good. I remember that I've seen other people that have tasted this, and they said that he's good. And just right now, you know, right now. And it's like, you know why you feel that way? If you profess to be a believer, it's because you're full of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You filled yourself up with sin.
Right.
You've went into the ways of Egypt, and you're under bondage. But you know what? If you start fasting and praying, if you start saying no to dark choices in media, saying no to those who choose to take advantage of your relationship around you to bring darkness in your presence, saying no to those who want to be able to fill you up with that which separates you from intimacy with God, then you'll just get hungry. You'll just get hungry. You'll get hungry for God.
Mm-hmm.
I think Proverbs says that, I believe it says, even to a hungry man, a full man loaves honey, but to a hungry man, even the bitter things
taste sweet. Mm-hmm.
And even the parts of God's truths that you avoided, you'll be saying, you know what, God, whatever you want from me, Lord, whatever you have for me, Jesus. And you know, and then once you just have a little bit of taste and you're hungry for him, then you say, you know, I want more. Mm-hmm. And then that exponentially grows, and all of a sudden now you're like, hey, that was good. And so you say no to more of the other on the buffet in this world. And believe me, I've never seen, just like in the natural sense in America, the foods are being just stacked on buffets. I mean, just piled out there. Darkness is being piled out there. That's just, mm-hmm. that's actually a sign of our, you know, wanting just a, and one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was, you know, gluttony and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a sign of just saying, you know, we're just flesh-oriented and we're not spirit-oriented. The flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are spirit. And in that, you start getting hungry. And literally that little bit of hunger you have begins to grow exponentially, which empowers you by God's grace to begin to say no to. And next thing you know, you're walking out of captivity the way that Israel walked out of Egypt. You're walking out of those areas. And when you're hungry, God just begins to move on your behalf. You weren't waiting on God. God was waiting on you. But it's not until you become desperate enough to change will you see change or see transformation. I mean, today, one of the things that has happened is that time has sped up. And the information that I believe that we have, I think the studies show, and it's bigger than this because this is an old study,
mm-hmm.
but the information that passes our eyes and ears in one day that our great-great-grandfathers didn't have in a lifetime.
Yeah, I heard that.
The difficult thing is we got the same brain he has.
Yeah.
We have the same 24 hours that he has. And so we can't take all that in and think we're going to have room, you know, for the things of God. We got to be careful. We got to manage, you know, what we're going to take in. And sometimes even good things get in the way of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not until we want, think, and feel desperate to where we're ready to make that transformation and go after him with all of our everything we think, everything we want, everything we feel, wanting more of the Lord, that causes us to see his presence manifested, his glory manifested. And it makes me think about Charles Seymour on Azusa Street. This is a man, an African-American man who, in the midst of, this is like 1905, something wow. of the nature, and much oppression, even the very ones that raised him up in the Lord rejected him, but he didn't stop. And then he wanted to see a move of God inside of a church gathering, and they just locked him out. They thought they would lose their salvation if they you know, share with him what they had to say. So they just kind of put a lock on the door.
Wow.
But William Seymour, and he rented a room in a house, and he began just to pray and fast. One man desperate for God. And eventually God responded. God responded eventually to one man's hunger for God. He became desperate for more of God. I think about, you know, the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. that you had, you know, I witnessed Brother John Kilpatrick's, you know, a spiritual father to me. Mm-hmm. I witnessed his hunger, his desperation for God, and his repugnance to anything else. It was just everything was just kind of repulsive, became repulsive to him. Mm-hmm. You know, religion, you know, one more counseling session, to a staff that wouldn't listen, you know, mm-hmm. to, you know, he called us all together at one particular point, and there's, you know, quite a few of us. And he said, you know, he's basically put it down. You know, either you're going to walk right before God or you're off staff. Mm-hmm. And that's a real tough thing to do. And he's just, you know, he did that and he walked out of the room because this is a tough thing to do.
Right.
And then he was willing to even go to Canada, where the airport, you know, the Bob Arnock, was, God was moving in Canada. And Sister Brenda's wife had already been there already. And she was being touched by the power of God. And he was just like jealous because she's sitting here. They're sitting at a restaurant in Pensacola. And she's got the power of God all over her. And of course, she's all encouraged and stuff. And he's just getting really, you know, jealous. And finally, he's like, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to go there because he was desperate. Mm-hmm. He was desperate. And it's not until you're desperate, you know, and much prayer, much brokenness, you know, he had just lost his mother, who he was loyal to the last second, to his mother, and single mother, single parent, and just was broken mm-hmm. and desperate. And on his way to Canada, all of a sudden he started experiencing what he thought was a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
But it wasn't. He went to the doctor in Tennessee or something, and on the way, whatever state it was, and he turned around and came back. He didn't go to Canada. And it's like God responded to that because he still was going through all these things, and, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, he poured his life out and you know, to an unresponsive people for so long. I mean, you can, but I think it's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody once told me, they said, listen, I don't want to be here, you know, where I was ministering, because if I'm here, that means I got to do something. I just want to go somewhere where I want to set.
Right.
Yeah, that just doesn't work for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I want to be a dude. Remember, we're going to be talking about Francis Chan in a minute. It's going to talk about that. But in that he was desperate for God. Mm-hmm. And there was another man who was desperate for God. And he was willing to do anything for more of God. And he went all the way to England. And his name was Steve Hill. And he went over to an Anglican minister in England, and where God was pouring himself out. He began to talk to him, and the guy just touched him, and he fell on the power of God. And then so he began to come back with what God has given him. And so you had two desperate men, desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
For more of the Lord. Think about it, two. I mean, William Seymour was one. Now you have two men desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there that morning in the little small office as Steve was coming in, and he was going to minister that night. But Brother Kilpatrick just letting him minister that morning because he was just so disheartened. He's been through a lot at that point. And what's so cool is that you can be responsive like that, but God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells us to pray for Steve instead of pray for
instead of him.
And of course, we didn't have any idea where we were just going. You know, I was a few other men, Gary Hinkey, myself, and a few others. And we went to lay hands on Steve, and of course, God touched us, and he's just on fire. He's just like, just on fire. But Brother Kilpatrick had been so broken during this time, it didn't even, you know, and we didn't have a clue. You know, I didn't have a clue and what was about to happen, but it's Father's Day, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all go out, and, you know, you take your places, and the congregation is there, and Steve begins to preach on the wonders of the Lord. And we're receiving that based off our own experiences, which means we weren't receiving it like he was saying it.
Right.
And not even Brother Kilpatrick was, because he's broken. You know, he's broken. This is not a negative place. If you're broken right now and you're just feeling like you need to be desperate for God, I'm telling you, this is what we're talking about today. Then you're in the right place. Don't throw your hands up. Look at those that have gone before you and just realize that if you hang in there, God's about to move in your life. You wouldn't appreciate what God's about to do in your life if you hadn't gone through what you're going through and what you've gone through. And so he's preaching on the wonders of the Lord. And it was Father's Day 1995. Brother Kilpatrick was just going to, they were going to finish up and they were going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve says, I'm going to pray for you. And of course, when you want to leave, it's like, this is going to take forever. There's probably about 800, 1,200 people there maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was not an emotionally satisfying feeling to Brother John Kilpatrick, because what he's going through, which is really cool, because mm-hmm. it's authentic and he's real, and he had real things he had gone through, and only God knows, you know, his tenacity to hold on and not leave. And then all of a sudden, as soon as he started laying hands on the congregation, the power of God came down in a powerful way.
Mm.
And they're singing the song, the hands of the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those who run into it, you know, will be saved. And I'll never forget when Steve came by and just barely touched the top of my head, you know, my forehead or something, and said, more Lord. I literally got like a punch from the Holy Spirit, or an angel maybe just sought me out and just threw my body all the way back to this pew. And didn't hurt me, didn't do anything. It was the power of God. And that's what God would begin to just shake our world and rock our world. And, of course, at that point, God's presence just manifested everywhere. Not that point with me, but that all of us. And then Brother Kilpatrick was walking with Steve, kind of putting his hand on the back of him, like, yes, Lord, bless them. Yes, Lord, bless them. You know, like getting through that moment.
Yeah.
But then what started happening, he realized, this is God. And all of a sudden, his legs became rubbery, and he couldn't stand up. And they finally started helping him to the podium. He puts his right arm on the podium. He lifts himself up, and he says, "This is God. Get in." Something like that. "This is God. Get in. He's here." And all of a sudden, bam!
He was gone.
And I'm ready for about 90 days, 6 months, 3 years of that. Just don't pick me up. Let me just lay there. Let me recoup. But you understand, there was two desperate men for God, and God brought two desperate men together. If you're desperate for all of God, hungry for God, listen, don't give up. Understand, this same Jesus, this same God is looking for someone who's hungry and thirsty for him. And he says, you will be filled. And when I think about it, you think about Charles Seymour. He got that room. They locked him out of the church gathering there on Azusa Street. And he went and rented a room now. Americans like, can God move if you actually rent a room from somebody?
Right. Said,
yeah, he can actually move. You're in the bush. Anyway, so then he began to cry out to God and fast and pray. And then next thing you know, he's there at Azusa Street and God is moving. So probably so humble that he put his head in a box, you know, at times when he would minister.
Mm.
And more missionaries, it's reported that more missionaries was launched in there than anywhere else in the world, from one man's hunger and one man's desperation. But it makes me think about King David and his desperation.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God, and then in families, really family. You know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house. He was.
and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, your mother and your brothers outside want to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. That we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation, and it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, what it's like just to be the church, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org. Quite often, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, the people that God saves. Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners, and by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. We're talking about desperation for God, being desperate for more of God, the glory of God, being hungry for God. Now, we're just talking about, started talking about King David right before the break right here, but a little bit more about William Seymour, to understand it, that
he began to share what God had on his heart, and the building that he was in, this particular ladies' church, her name was Sister Hutchinson. She didn't like what he had to say. And you have to get ready. Everybody's not going to like what, and we're going to continue this too, by the way, in the extra hour. So don't panic. We're going to continue on with this conversation. But, so he, you know, this is what probably happens. Could you stand up and just share what the Lord has on your heart? You know, and then he shares what, you know, God's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when he returns, when returning with him to the mission, that particular evening, they found that Sister Hutchinson had padlocked the door. She was outraged and declared that she wouldn't permit such extreme teaching in her little mission on Santa Fe Street. So what happened was, because he couldn't get in there and continue to minister, God promoted him, and he eventually ended up at 312 Azusa Street. What they say about Azusa Street is, and this is the building he ended up in, you're thinking about, oh, I don't know if God can really move here because we don't have a PowerPoint and the carpet doesn't match. And listen, this is where God, this is Azusa Street. And this is what they say about Azusa Street. It was said that God's power could be felt at Azusa, even outside the building. Scores of people were seen dropping into a prostrate position in the streets before they even reached the mission. That's the power of God. But let me describe to you the building that he had to go to because he got padlocked out of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't confront anybody because they thought you'd lose your salvation if you actually confronted people.
Oh, wow.
As if a padlock's not a confrontation, right? Can you imagine, like, I'm Sister Hutchinson. I'm the one that locked the man of God out. You know. Anyway. So this is, let me describe the building here. Don't worry. It's not your building. It's not anything. It's you. You know, how desperate is what I'm talking about these. You know, are you ready? Are you desperate? Are you hungry enough for God? And so this describes the building that he ended up in at 312 Azusa Street that sent out more missionaries. His ministry sent out more missionaries, they say, reportedly than anybody else since.
Mm-hmm.
The top floor was being used for storage. The bottom floor had been converted into a horse stable. So he's in a place where they had a horse stable was converted to a horse stable. The windows were broken and one electrical light bulb was hanging from the ceiling. Not, you know, you think about it, we don't have the right kind of lighting here. He had one light bulb and it was a horse stable. And Seymour was offered the building for $8 a month. Lord, we just received that.
Yes.
We received that.
Yes.
And talking about getting hungry for God, getting hungry, desperate for God. And I'm thinking about, you know, King David here. And it looks like, you know, where we're coming at, that we're going to continue talking about King David into the extra hour because we want to linger in this because we need to get desperate for the things of God. And you think, well, I'm not thirsty right now. But this is what happens is, I don't know if anybody's ever told you, drink 8 glasses of water a day. You'll lose weight. Not true.
Well, if you don't eat nothing.
Well, I just mix Coke in it. No messing with me. And, you know, drink 8 glasses of water a day. It's real strange because you can spend your life not thirsty, but all of a sudden when you start drinking water, you become thirstier and your water body starts craving more water. And it's real weird because, you know, some people, they drink. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest issues probably in America is that it's dehydrated. By choice, it's dehydrated because we're drinking things like Cokes and things like that instead of just water.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be 80% water, so hey. But understand this, that so that means that in the natural sense, if I drink water, I'll want water.
Mm-hmm.
If I drink more water, I'll want more water. And so starting to taste and see the Lord is good, beginning just to go spend some time with God, begin to abide with God. And we talk about this, we'll talk about it more. You can find an abiding plan that we have for you that's real simple. It needs to be simple. I mean, this religious stuff is going to take you down. You need to go to iabide.org and request your free plan there. We've seen the simplicity of doing this and the lasting relationship that people have with God that empowers them outside of men and just works, you know, and request it today. But understand this, that William Seymour was a man that was rejected by his very own spiritual father. He was rejected in the school. They had to he was an African American man. They made him stand outside in the window. His desk was outside the window of the school so he can be trained. But he went through that humility and he just did it.
Wow.
Which just shows us that we need to humble ourselves before God. There's so many people, they're trying to defend themselves and trying to save their reputation. It's like Jesus made himself of no reputation. And what kind of reputation did Joseph have? What kind of reputation did Jesus have? What kind of reputation did Paul have? What kind of think about it. The enemy creates a very bad reputation for those who walk in God, but it's not a bad reputation in heaven.
Right.
It's just people trying to stop, you know, what God is doing. Listen, being desperate for the presence, of being hungry for the glory of God. I'm going to talk to you at the beginning of the extra hour as we continue this conversation about King David, because King David became desperate for the glory of God, so much so that he was willing to do whatever it took to be able to bring God's presence in. But I got to tell you, it matters how you do it. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that he's came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what?
I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound. I am